Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hello, good evening. It's another sunny day here in Sheffield. We're here on Deserted Island Discs. It's a show where we chat to people with an Irish connection who now live in South Yorkshire. So we've done over a year of that and we've had some wonderful people on. But tonight I've got a wonderful guest again. It's Rachel Holyhead. Hello, Rachel. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thanks.
Good, good. Let's just describe Rachel for the audience who doesn't know. So Rachel's a successful author. You've had one book published and you're in, how are you halfway through the second one?
Oh, I'm about, I would say 90% through.
Wow, so we're ready for the next one.
Yeah.
Well, the show is that we talk about Rachel's life and we've got an hour to do it and we punctuate the evening with songs that mean a lot to Rachel. So her book writing, it comes, I suppose, towards the end of your story.
It does, yeah.
Or maybe not the end, you know, the presents.
The autumn. Yeah.
So we're going to start at the beginning then. So where was you born?
I was born in Sheffield on the 31st of December 1968.
Oh, New Year's Eve.
Yes. At the Nether Edge, the new maternity wing there.
Okay.
And my first home was a flat above a butcher's, next to the Brown Cow on Mowbray Street.
Oh, right.
Which you might not know, but you will know the Riverside Pub.
Yeah, so it's like...
And the Brown Cow is now the Riverside.
Ah,
so
right.
So we lived in a flat above there.
Wow.
Looking out onto the river.
But I bet it was not as beautiful as it is now, though, was it? It's quite industrial.
I mean, I can't remember it, but my dad's told me it was... that river.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, quite an industrial area.
I mean, it's nice now. They've cleaned it up a lot, haven't they?
I was actually...
With a fella on Monday this week who said he caught a salmon down there, salmon down there. But back in the, late
60s, 70s. I don't think there have been any salmon in it then. No, but I have been down to the riverside and I've gone to the doorway where my mum and dad will have been shoving my pram in.
Yeah. So what were your mum and dad doing? What was their profession?
So at that time, my dad worked in the steelworks. He worked at Shepcote Lane Rolling Mills.
Right. Yeah.
And my mum was a secretary at that point.
Yeah.
My dad's family lived in Pittsmore, so it wasn't actually far up
the
hill.
Yeah, just up the road, yeah.
And my mum's family lived at Hackenthorpe.
Okay. That comes in later on.
It does, yeah. And so we lived on Mowbray Street at Neep's End for a few months, and then we moved to the newly built Claywood flats.
Okay.
So that's where the cholera monument is now. There's a cholera monument Claywood. It's just at the bottom of Granville Road.
Yes, I know
what
you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there was some tower blocks
Northland
there.
Park. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And we moved there. We were on the 11th floor.
Oh, wow.
Which wasn't ideal with me being, toddling around at 10 or 11 months.
Yeah. So you council flat, though. So
council,
I suppose you've been
flat,
in private,
brand
rented,
new,
private rented previously.
Yeah, that will have been.
And then you got a council flat.
That's right, yeah. So we were on the 11th floor, and I don't remember it, but apparently I was always trying to get onto that balcony and shouting down to people on the ground, shouting over to the neighbours.
Yeah. I bet you had a great view of Sheffield from there, wasn't it? It'd be amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah. My mum and dad said so, yeah.
Yeah.
But then my brother was on the way, so really wasn't an ideal place to bring two kids up, even though it was, they were brilliant. My mum says they had all mod cons and everything.
Yeah. Are they not still there, them flats?
No, they knocked them down.
Yeah.
A few years back now.
Yeah. So you got another council flat, was it?
So we went from Claywood to... So my mum's parents lived at Hackenthorpe.
Yeah.
And they wanted to do a swap. That was the best way to do it on the council back then.
Yeah.
They did have lists, waiting lists. Yeah. but people mainly used to arrange their own swaps. Yeah. And it was just by chance that my nan's next door neighbour was on the bus, on the 41 bus, and she overheard somebody saying, oh, I can't manage my house anymore.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I know somebody who wants a swap. Yeah. So we swapped with this lady who lived just round the corner from my nan's, and she went, this old lady went to Claywood, and we got the three-bedroom house at Hackenthorpe.
But next to your nan as well?
Just round the corner, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
We could see her house from our house.
Yeah. And did you get that, well, relationship with your nan, I suppose?
Oh, yeah,
more
absolutely.
So than you would have had. Yeah.
It was like a second home. We were always round at my nan and granddad's. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it was.
So, one of the things we do with the show, then, we play music. Are you ready for your first song?
We can be. Yeah. I mean, the house is always full of music, and my dad had a big record collection and tapes. And the first song I remember liking myself and listen and wanting to keep playing it was this, and I didn't know who it was at the time.
So it was your dad's song, really. It was just playing on you.
He played it. I liked it, and then I went to dig it out for myself. I had no idea who it was because it was on the end of a tape. His friend used to tape him things,
yeah.
And if there was a bit of room at the end, they'd stick another one on, like a bonus track.
Yeah, yeah.
This was one of them, and so it wasn't even.
And it wasn't written down.
Written down on the cover. I had no idea who it was, but this was the first song I ever liked.
Well, how did you know eventually what it was called, or you just heard it somewhere? And
I don't think I knew until Spotify came out.
Yes, you got to know that, yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the first song you ever like, and it's called I'm Carrying by Wings.
Yeah. By dawn's first light, I'll come back to your room again. With my carnation hidden by the packages I'm carrying something. I'm carrying something for you. A long time no see, baby. Carrying something for you. Oh, 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 oh. I'm carrying, come help it. I'm carrying something.
Lovely. I've never heard that song before. It's lovely, that. Paul McCartney singing with Wings, I'm Carrying. That's the choice of Rachel Hollyhead, my guest tonight on Deserted Islanders. Oh, thanks for that, Rachel. Yeah, so we were talking about your life and You just got to Achenforth. I can't say the H, sorry. I'm not even from Yorkshire, I call it Achenforth.
I call it Achenforth, yeah. So, yeah, I moved to Achenforth just before my second birthday. But a lot of my time was spent with my grandparents just round the corner. And just lovely, happy memories.
Yeah.
Just so lucky to have that.
Yeah.
On our doorstep.
And you had so you went to school in Achenforth?
Yes, I did. I went to the Hackenthorpe Village Infant School, which was an old Victorian building that's no longer there.
Right.
But that was, loved it, loved school.
Yeah. And then secondary school?
Then I went to Rainbow Forge School, which again is no longer there.
Right.
It's amazing that Hackenthorpe has grown a lot since then, but we've got hardly any schools left.
How come? Everyone
goes in the car, I presume.
So is it barely up there or things like that?
Yeah. But we had numerous schools in Hackenthorpe at that time. Rainbow Forge was lovely. And at that time, I would have probably come home from school and gone straight to my nana and granddad's because my mum and dad were at work.
Yeah.
My dad had moved to Royal Mail at that point, so he was a postman for many years. And I can remember my grandparents didn't have a record player or even a radio.
Yeah.
But the house was still full of music.
Okay.
And I was thinking about it earlier, and I can remember my granddad singing all the old wartime songs like Pack Up Your Troubles and stuff. And when Father papered the parlour.
Okay.
I don't know if you know that. These are probably too old for you.
Well, it's different. So you've got Irish heritage somewhere, but not on that side. So they were kind of very much, well, English and
these singing, were Yorkshire people.
Yeah, and
proper
singing
Yorkshire songs.
So what was the school where you met the previous guests? So Sean.
So I met Sean at Carter Lodge.
When we were 11.
11.
So what was the Rainbow School in between then?
That's right, yeah. So Village Infants, then Rainbow Forge Juniors.
Junior, and then
Carter Lodge Secondary School.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And that sounded like an interesting place. Lots of going.
It was very interesting, yeah.
Do you talk about your Irish connection there?
Yeah. So, well, I want to rewind, actually, if you don't mind.
Of course.
Because I think my parents' record collection is key to most of my tastes.
Do you want to play the next song first?
What's the second one?
So we've got Tomorrow, not the Annie version.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you can play this because this was the... this is proper U2 as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
When they were Irish.
Yeah.
And this was my introduction to bar rounds and the pipes and what have you, so I loved it.
Yeah, so this was like, again, so this, but you, this you found yourself rather than your parents?
I found this myself, yeah, rather than my parents, with my friends Sandra and Jackie.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we were the original U2 fans, so at that point they'd got the albums Boy, October and War.
So you found them first.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Brilliant. Let's play that then. So it's Tomorrow, and it's U2 Tomorrow.
Thank you. Who was it for? Who healed the wounds? Who heals the scars? Open the door, open the door.
You too with Tomorrow, another lesser known track. I love your choices so far. The songs that we don't hear that often, are they?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But you were a big U2 fan then?
I was, yeah. I think I got into U2 when I was about 12 or 13.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was my discovery rather than just listening to my mum and dad's music.
And you're saying that song, though, it's a lovely song, was about his mum.
His mum's death and his mum's funeral, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why he's saying, will you come back tomorrow?
Oh, bless him.
Really sad, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So going back to your musical, I suppose, influences and stuff, so he's saying in your house it was just playing all the time.
Oh, yeah, music all the time. One of my first memories is we had a radiogram, like a sideboard.
Yeah.
And
it had
a dial on the front with a light.
Yeah, yeah.
And I used to think that was the stage.
Okay.
And that the singers were going to come out on that.
Oh, nice.
But my dad soon moved on from the radiogram and he got
upgraded.
Pioneer record player.
Nice.
And Castle speakers that he's still got.
Yeah.
And I remember him telling me that it was a needle tip.
Yeah.
Diamond needle tip. Oh,
yeah,
so if I was going to use it, to be careful, because he knew I would use it.
Yeah.
No good saying don't use it. So I had to be careful.
And was you? Was you careful?
I was careful. Well, I mean, I missed the edge. Difficult. You remember putting a record on?
Yeah.
God, I've missed the edge. But I don't think I didn't break the needle.
Yeah.
So I listened to my dad's favourite music, which was the Eagles.
Yeah.
Jethro Tull,
Petty, so all the 70s big bands.
My mum liked Demis Roussos, Smokey, Nana Mascore, the Everly Brothers, but they bought me one of those portable little record players in a case, and I had that in my bedroom. And then I was about 10 or 11 when my mum said that I could play their old 45s, their old singles. So my mum and dad's records from when they were kids, basically. And I just loved them.
What was that?
So the records I was listening to then when I was about 10 or 11 that I can remember were Runaway, Del Shannon. I loved that one.
Yeah. So it's 60s.
It was 60s stuff, yeah.
Nice.
Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas. Yeah.
Have they still got them?
I don't know where they are. Do you know what? I think they're in the garage and they'll not have fared well.
Yeah.
They should have been looked after
better.
Yeah,
yeah.
But my favourite of them was the Beatles. And I loved I Feel Fine. They got the single, the original. So that should have been looked after.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't know what's happened to it. But I remember being really into the Beatles.
Yeah.
And then John Lennon got killed.
Yeah.
When I was 11.
Yeah.
So I was pretty heartbroken by that, but I felt that I couldn't talk to anyone about it because none of my friends were into the Beatles or anything, and I don't think my mum and dad realised I was either, because that was something that I was listening to on my own.
Yeah.
So I just kind of just dealt with it on my own, but I remember finding that period really awful, shocking.
So you'd have been what, 11. About 11 at that point? Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a vulnerable time, isn't it? Like, you know, if one of your people's boy band heroes died at that age, you'd be devastated.
So you would. So my boy band of the time was the Beatles.
The Beatles, great. Yeah. It's not a bad choice.
It's not, is it? No.
they did all right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we have got a Beatles song to play, innit? I know we've got loads to talk about.
We have. That comes a bit later, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Because I think we've got a more Irish one again.
Yeah, we've got an Irish one again, but, your next choice is, Robin of Sherwood, Clannad. Do you want to play that? Tell us why you picked that one.
Well, I remember I absolutely loved that programme, and that Robin of Sherwood is the thing that really got me interested in history. And I remember when I went for my interview at Liverpool University.
So you went to Liverpool Uni, yeah.
They asked me what had got me into history, and I thought, should I say it or not? Are they gonna like laugh me out of the building?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I really like Robin of Sherwood, and the professor was like, oh, what a brilliant program that is! You know, it's so historically accurate and everything. Yeah. So that might have got me in. I don't know.
Well, that's it, it's done it.
They were certainly impressed.
So was that? Well, let's play it then. So it's Robin of Sherwood, Clannad, beautiful song.
Thank you. That's Clannad.
Yeah, I've not heard that one for years as well. I remember it from my childhood because it was like, was it Saturday Night TV, wasn't it?
It was, Robin and Sherwood. About 83-ish.
Yeah, yeah. A beautiful song, isn't it?
Yeah. So
you liked it through the TV show and then, yeah.
And the music as well.
I mean, Clannad were great around that time.
They were, yeah.
It's my guest, Rachel Holyhead, who's with us tonight, the author of a book which we need to talk about soon before the hour runs out. So we're nearly halfway through. You're saying yourself you're not a big plugger of a book, are you? Yeah.
No, I'm not. We probably should mention
what's it called?
Black Hollow.
Black Hollow. And if you see it on Amazon or Kindle, it's got 5-star. Everyone's given it 5-star reviews, haven't they? So
I think I got a 4-star.
Oh,
and you know what they said? It left me wanting more, so I'm knocking a star off.
Oh, that's not good, is it?
No.
And they're getting more, aren't they? So the sequel's coming out.
I'm not sure because it's about 90% written, but there's a lot of editing.
Yeah, you've got
to do
the editing and stuff. Yeah, stuff. Well, we'll come on to that.
Then get a publisher.
Yes. Well, that'll be easy after them.
Should hope so.
5-star reviews. So talking about your life. So we still want to kind of focus on. We've not really got very far, I'm afraid.
No, we've not. I've had a lot to say.
So we still basically still at school days, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
But you were saying you wanted to talk about your granddad?
Yeah. So my dad's dad. I used to spend a lot of time with him as well, and he lived at Low Edges.
Yeah.
And
miles away.
It was a 2-bus ride.
That was it.
Yeah. But I used to go there and watch snooker with him on a black and white telly. But it was around that time that I really got into snooker, and more especially Alex Higgins.
Oh, yes.
And I've got a really good memory, but I'm not always sure what order things happened in.
Yeah.
So at around the age of about 12 or 13, I was into Alex Higgins, and I think... I'm not sure whether I was into Alex Higgins first or aware of our Irish roots.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It's a chicken and egg. But I do remember saying to my granddad that I liked Alex Higgins and he went mad. He was like, oh, stay away from the Irish.
Okay.
And so it was not forthcoming when I asked him about it. But he did tell me that we had Irish in the family.
Yeah.
But it was his dad.
Yeah.
That where the Irish connection was, but he said he didn't have a good word to say about his own father. It was a wrong un, and he told me stuff like that. He used to just disappear for months on end, and then he'd come back, and they never sent any money home.
Yeah,
and so his mother had to take washing in, and he remembers his dad coming up the yard and doing that with his dirty cap on all these white sheets, so she had to do them all again, and so he was just a wrong un.
Yeah.
But it was his parents that were the Irish
Your
people,
Irish
I believe.
Connection, yeah.
And he told me the name O'Connor.
Yeah.
I've since found out that they were, when I've been doing my family tree, I have found that his mother was called Catherine O'Connor.
Yeah.
But he did hint as well that our name is not really Holyhead.
Yeah, okay.
That's where they landed.
Yeah,
when they came over,
so they just got that name,
and he just said leave it all alone, and you should never go to Ireland.
Okay,
and when my mum and dad once went to Ireland, he was really against it.
Yeah,
but they came back,
yeah,
and nothing had happened. But
what was your granddad like generally then?
Lovely. I just loved chat. Sort of debate. I can remember my dad once saying, don't talk to your granddad like that. And he said, leave us alone. Because I used to challenge him sometimes on stuff he was saying. But we used to have a good together.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Well, you need that, don't you? A bit of challenge as well, like from both sides. But
yeah.
So it must have been, if he's generally a lovely man, your granddad, there must have been something happened.
Oh, yes. Because he'd talk about anything but then that. The door shut.
Yeah.
Because I used to keep asking him, and I never got anything further other than they were from Newcastle, County Down. The name was O'Connor, and Holyhead is a bit of a
red
herring.
Yeah.
Well, funnily enough, though, there's no one that I have ever met that is not related to me called Holyhead.
Yeah.
And the first people called Holyhead in this country were in the 1890s. There's nothing further back than that.
Yeah, so everyone just said, we'll have this name, yeah.
It looks that way, yeah.
Yeah.
But, so, I don't know whether it was the... whether I liked Alex Higgins first or whether my grand... I think I might have... Because that's why the conversation with my granddad came up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know...
Well, he was a wild one, wasn't he, old Alex?
I liked him because he was a rebel.
Yeah,
and
he was great.
I do like a rebel, yeah. It's the Irish in me.
Yes. Sorry, I interrupted you. Was you going to say... No,
I don't.
Sorry. That's
I remember.
Terrible host interrupting and losing check. Well, the good thing for this is we can always go back to music, but we do need to talk about your school days, like teenage years.
So you had Sean on, didn't you, a couple of weeks back, a great friend of mine. We met in the first year at secondary school. And we kind of bonded because we were having a bit of a hard time.
Yeah.
So I'll be brief, but I had Osgood Schlatter's disease, which is a thing that a lot of sports people get. And I was quite sporty up to junior school. Did a lot of running for the school and what have you. So it's like a thing that a lump that grows on the top of your shin and behind your patella. Wow. Anyway, so I had to have this, like a caliper on my leg.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that I used to get a hell of a hard time. Sean was getting a hard time as well. So that's why we kind of clicked together. And also our love of anything Irish.
Yeah.
And he said to you before, hasn't he, about our Irish society...
Well, they told me after the show, and I said, "Why didn't you tell me that on the show?" He says, "Oh, it's okay, Rachel can talk about that." Yeah,
so we did. We had this Irish society. Sean managed to get the sewing teacher to do as a lovely Irish flag, but I was the membership card person,
right.
And I issued membership cards to everyone. It was £1 to join.
Okay.
And I made them an Irish name up.
Yes.
So yeah, loved it and made quite a lot of money.
Well, you must have broke through that. You must have been popular at that point.
Yeah,
did that make it away from being bullied?
Well, I was never bullied. They tried to, but I went for the Achilles heel every time, and they never came back. They were rotten. But no, by the time of 13, 14, me and Sean were a little bit more confident.
Yeah.
We'd found our feet and we knew what we liked.
I mean, it sounds a bit like a scam, if you don't mind saying, Rachel. So you charge people a quid back in the 80s. It's a lot of money. Like, your dinner money would be like 20 pence.
I can't believe it,
And what did they get?
Were happy to hand it over. They got an Irish name, an identity card.
So, okay, perfect. Well worth a quid. They're part of a club, weren't they? They're part of an elite club of people.
And the library were happy to do all the photocopying of our posters and stuff. But we were encouraged, actually, because we were using our imagination, weren't we?
Entrepreneur, yeah.
So, you know that making stuff up, though, making names up, I think that is a thing for me, and that's why I like writing.
Yeah, so you made names up for...
So anyone that joined this Irish society got a membership card with a made-up Irish name.
With a new Irish name.
Yeah, a new identity. And I made all these names up, yeah.
Can you remember any?
Well, I was called Bernadette McGuinness.
Very good. Perfect. Very Irish, yes.
Yeah, my brother was called Eamon. He didn't even go to our school, but I sold him one.
That's great, yeah. But yeah, it could happen again, couldn't it? Entrepreneurs out there looking for where to make money at school.
But yeah, we both loved anything Irish at that time, me and Sean. And I've done ever since.
Very good.
Yeah.
So was you creative writing started at school, or were you like into English at that point?
Yeah, I think English was always my best subject, and I was always good at writing essays and stuff. Did well at English, O level and A level. But then just left it behind. I'd love to get my A level stories back because they were. I think they were good. I'm sure they were. But they just keep them, don't they?
Yeah. So, well, who knows where they are now?
Yeah,
probably gone.
Yeah. But yeah, I did. I loved writing. Yeah. And I can't believe that I left it till I was over 50 to actually do it in any kind of serious way.
Well, we'll have to come on to that next, I think. So we'll play the next song, which kind of links the two, doesn't it, beautifully?
Yeah, so I remember listening to this when I was about 16 and thinking, I'd love to be this one day. It's a paperback writer.
Let's play it. Paperback writer.
Paperback writer.
Paperback writer, can't beat that, can you? So, yeah, it's the choice of Rachel Holyhead, my guest tonight on Deserted Island Disc. So, Rachel, we've got you to sixth form, and then you hinted and you said you got into Liverpool Uni doing history.
That's right, yeah.
Was that Beatles again?
Or could have been. And I liked Brookside. But no, I just fell in love with Liverpool as soon as I got off the train. And the universe, just the whole everything. I loved it. I mean, I got lost. I went in a pub asking directions, and this lovely old Liverpudlian guy came out, and I just the whole thing. I loved it, and it was all buzzing, and I still love it. I'm always in Liverpool.
Yeah, no, it's a great city. It's great. Even though I'm from Manchester, but I love Liverpool. Mm. It's great. So did you go for like an open day first, or did you go straight for it?
Just for the interview.
Just went, yeah, that so you had an interview and looked around. And
so I had to make my way from Lime Street to...
Up the hill. Yeah.
To the history department.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely.
And yeah, good time there then.
Loved it. Yeah, absolutely loved it. Still interested in history.
Yeah.
I think I was more drawn to the Liverpool people than I was students, to be honest. The students weren't kind of my scene, to be honest. I just liked enjoying myself in
That's
Liverpool.
The nice thing about Liverpool Uni, it's in the city itself, isn't it? So if you go in a pub there, you're in the city, aren't you?
The halls of residence were in Mossley Hill, which I didn't know at the time. The pub we went to, we literally walked past the school that Paul McCartney and George Harrison went to. I didn't know at the time. And the Dovedale Towers, it was Dovedale School. Dovedale Towers was our local. Penny Lane was there.
Yeah.
Walked past Penny Lane every day for the bus.
Yeah.
So we were really in the centre of Beatles land.
Yeah, but just Liverpool people,
but
really.
Liverpool.
Yeah. They're not as bad as people make out, are they?
Not at all, no.
No. Still got to get that Manchester digs in, sorry. But you left there. Did you come straight back to Sheffield?
I did, yeah. I came back to Sheffield and then I got a job. And that is where I still am, in that job, that employer.
Yeah.
So I've worked for Aviva for nearly 37 years.
Wow. And different guys. They've changed names a few times.
Oh, God, yeah. It was Norwich Union.
Norwich Union, yeah.
To start
with. Insurance.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I think I've worked in every department except for the canteen.
Okay.
Honestly, because I've worked in all manner of jobs in there, you know. And I was a manager, and then up until about 10, 12 years ago, I stepped down because of my health.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, we'll talk about that as well. There's lots happening in your life, aren't there? But I'm intrigued to see that writing wasn't really kind of a... You never thought about writing at that point in your life?
Yeah, and I've not mentioned it, but I used to write as a much younger child to my uncle who was in the army.
Yeah.
And my nanan used to get us writing on old teabag boxes rather than buy any proper paper.
Right.
She'd cut teabag boxes up and make postcards out of them. And I'd write to him. Then I started to write a bit of a story. And then he used to say, do me a proper story for when I'm next on leave. So that went on for a while as well, but...
That's a good way to start, though, that, having that feedback and...
He'd passed away before my book was published.
Oh.
But I did dedicate it to him.
Yeah.
Because he always used to say to me, you should be doing that.
Yeah.
You know.
So you had that encouragement there.
Yeah, but you're just too busy earning a living, aren't you, really?
Well,
in the rat race.
Apparently, but I mean, I can imagine it's having that, also that, I suppose, confidence and kind of saying it, well, time, I suppose, that the people either have or they don't. So people from, like, wealthier backgrounds will have time to be able to invest in that, aren't they? But
also, I think it's probably not wrong that I've waited until I was in my 50s, because you've got... plenty of life experience
and
a bit of wisdom, hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're always conscious when you're writing that you can't just write a load of rubbish because you're going to get slated for it. So you've got to know, you know, you're not talking complete crap.
Yeah, yeah. We better play your next song, if that's okay. So it's Wichita Lion Man. And then we're gonna get into your book and talking about how you started writing and what the book's about and all that kind of stuff next. But we'll play. Why did you pick Wichita Lion?
Because it's one of my favourite songs. It actually reminds me of my dog that I had when I was a child, Brandy. I just think of her when I listen to this song. But I think it's one that pretty much everyone
likes. It's a great song, isn't it?
What's not to like?
Wichita Lion, Glen Campbell.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you through the whine. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. Thank you. I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
Lovely Glen Campbell, Wichita Lion Man. So we've got Rachel Hollyhead here. Time's running out. We need to get on and talk about what you're doing these days. But really, just to get there, we're still back in your 20s, aren't we? That's about as far as we've got your life, aren't you? And talk us through that.
So in my 20s, I had my two children, Liam and Kieran.
Good Irish names, yes. Yeah. You kept that going.
I did.
Despite your granddad, was he all right with it?
He was not around. I don't think he'd have liked it.
Oh, I was right, sorry. Yeah. And then you had quite a big thing happen in your life.
Yeah, so I was bringing my kids up and had quite a successful career at Aviva. And then I injured my back, which is 20 years ago now. Didn't do it doing anything exciting. I did it moving some wardrobes. I slipped 3 discs and they were quite badly slipped. I couldn't move my legs for a while and they just stayed slipped as well. They were herniated, which means they're not going to go back in a hurry. So I had a pretty terrible time for quite a while.
So I was just in like the house and...
Yeah, and just decided to move some furniture around in my bedroom.
Was
with no help,
So that moment
has changed my life.
You
from
knew
that,
it.
From that. Yeah. Well, no, I didn't know it was going to be forever at the time. But yeah, I've been in pain every day since.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
You were working, but did you reduce hours?
I carried on working. I had a lot of time off sick. But what I would say has kept me sane was my love of reading. And just up all night reading covers. And I mean, at that time, I was on a lot of medication.
Yeah.
And I used to read books and have no idea what they were about because I worked on that many drugs.
Yeah.
I was on morphine and all sorts. But yeah, it was the year, what was it? 2019.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, the years were pretty difficult.
Yeah,
I would
in between.
Say.
Yeah.
You know, I just focused on my children, trying to keep working. But yeah, it's mainly my only social thing was going to the library, to be honest. Got on first name terms with all the local librarians. And then
just read avidly, reading all the time, and
reading about probably four books a week because I'd be up all night in pain and just constantly.
So when did the writing start?
So I went to my local library, Freshville Library, one day, and they said, "Oh, we've got a local author coming in this afternoon. If you want to stay behind," so I did, and it was Sarah Ward, the author. She's a really good crime novelist. And I remember there was quite a few people in, and she said, "Well, I know we've got a lot of readers because this is a library, but do we have any writers?" And there was complete silence and everyone just put their hands down like that. And then she talked about how she became a writer. And then after that, I just thought, you know what, I think I'm going to have a go at that. Because I remembered that I wasn't bad at it back in the day and I quite liked it. And I love reading and I kind of know what kind of books I like as well. So that day I just went home and got a writing pad out and started scribbling a few ideas down.
Yeah.
And I started 2 or 3 different stories. And then I just picked the one that I thought had most potential.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how it started, really.
So that one you picked, the most potential, is the one that was published?
It's the one that was published, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So must be difficult, don't it? I mean, I think people can write, but to write How many words was it?
About 94,000 words.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah. It is, yeah. I mean, I started writing by hand, pen and paper, but then one of my sons bought me a laptop, and so I knew I had to be a bit more serious, though, because he'd spent all that money. It did actually make me think, I need to commit to this really now.
Well, that's a lovely present from your son, isn't it? So he's like, he had belief in you and said, like, come on, Mum, you can do this, Oh, that's nice.
Honest, and I just love writing. That's the main reason I do it.
But I also like to do it to that level of professionalism, I suppose. So did you have an editor, or are you doing it yourself?
The editor didn't really have anything much to edit.
Yeah, because you were perfect.
It was fairly good, I think. Yeah.
Great. Well, you can't argue with that, can you? So, and then...
But it took 5 years because sometimes I'm just in too much pain to do it. But you're right, it is a massive amount, really, for a full novel. And I used to leave it alone for weeks on end sometimes and then think, no, I've done that much, I'll get back. And then it became quite bulky. And I thought, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to make it into a book.
So what's your method? Did you know the whole story?
No.
Did you know how it was going to end?
I make it up as I go along. I literally do. I don't know what's going to happen myself.
Yeah.
I surprise myself.
Very good.
But when I started, I'd recently lost my mum. So, but I wanted it to be authentic. I didn't want to write about things I don't know about. So one of my characters, I used my experience of grief and bereavement and what have you for that. And then I thought, right, I need another character now that I want to be authentic. So the male character, I gave him my back condition. So that what he's going through, I know exactly how to write about that.
Can you give us like a synopsis of what the book's about?
It's kind of a police crime. It's a murder mystery. I think that was because of the that was the kind of books I was reading at that time, but I don't know anything about police procedure, so rather than get it wrong, I decided I just made my police complete mavericks who did everything wrong.
That's a good trick.
And I've not been picked up on anything by anyone saying that would not happen or you've got that completely wrong. I did do a little bit of research about what might, you know, what police would do, but it's mainly quite chaotic. So it focuses much more on the flawed characters of the
police,
rather than,
I'm sure there's many of them,
the
about
investigation. Well, exactly,
Oh, wonderful. So where can people buy the book?
So it's on Amazon.
So it's Black Hollow.
It's also available at Juno Books on Chapel Walk, I believe. And it's got great reviews, as
you've
said.
And you've got Kindle version, haven't you?
Kindle version, yeah.
Very good.
Or if anyone wants to message me, I've got a couple of copies.
Yeah, so we'll find you on Facebook, is it?
Yeah,
good stuff, yeah. No, well, that's my next holiday read sorted out there. So, and you're talking about you doing the sequel, so are you 90% through?
So it's taken me 18 months this time to get 90% through, so quite a bit quicker. Because I'm more committed now. I never believed at the beginning that it was going to come to anything, really.
But now I already know it has done, so it is.
And I'm getting a lot of people saying, when's this sequel ready?
So it does spur
me up. But the reviews and the nice, you know, the wonderful comments really do spur you on.
I've read a few, it's amazing. So if people didn't listen earlier, it's just like, all 5-star reviews apart from one person. Gave 4 stars. Still pretty good, isn't it? It's very good. Well, we've run out of time, Rachel. We've got time for your last song. Do you want to just say why you picked this one?
Which one is it?
So you've got Man Child.
Right, yeah. So I remember when I first heard this song as well. I was night fishing with my boyfriend at the time. We used to go to the pit ponds at Killamarsh, and he'd be fishing and I was listening to music and stuff. And this song came on, Man Child, and I loved it. And I just remember thinking, I wonder if I'll ever have a man-child of my own. And I ended up with two.
You got two?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Mm. Well, it's been absolutely wonderful speaking to you.
Thank you. It's been lovely speaking to you.
Yeah, so good luck for the future.
Thank you.
Have a great night. So this is Man-Child.
Man child.